Welcome to News from the Breach, a Dragon Prince podcast. We are your hosts, and today we would like to do a proper introduction, since we haven't recorded in a while. So, I'm Kaylee. I use the pronouns she and her, and I'm also comfortable with they, them.
Hi, and I'm Jana, or Yannick, and I'm used to pronouns they, them.
Our lives have changed somewhat since season 3. Jana spent a year in Thailand. We've both moved house, and I'm learning what it means to be a working parent living with a toddler. Respect to you all. And also to you, Zabea, getting those veggies down isn't always easy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, cool. So we're back. It took some time to get into the show again. And also we have a little bit of different things going on. So
Kaylee, schedules.
Yeah, exactly. So Kelly and her wife watched the whole season already in one go, and I'm not allowed to watch the whole season. I was only allowed to watch the first 2 chapters, so we can record as we go.
Yeah. So it's all a surprise to Jana, and I kind of know what's going on, and I'm going to try my best not to spoil anything. All right, so we'll start like usual. I'm going to give a short synopsis of the episodes or the chapters, and then we'll get on with discussing how we feel about it and what's going on in the chapters. Chapter 1, Rebirthday. 2 years later, Claudia finally completes her resurrection spell. Viren is back, and he only has 30 days to live, unless they can find Aravos's secret prison and get their help. Ezrin plans a surprise for Catullus, involving dragons, and Janai takes Amaya on a secret mission and proposes to her. Callum is thrown a surprise birthday party, but is sad because it's also the anniversary of Rayla leaving Catullus. And Chapter 2, Fallen Stars. Viren, Claudia, and Terry are climbing the Storm Spire. Viren is facing his mortality. Amaya and Janai announce their engagement, and we meet Janai's brother Karim, who is not a fan of the engagement. King Ezrin is planning the dragon visit. Callum is trying to translate the mirror. Bait helps Callum figure out how the Tome of Translation works, and we learn that the mirror says, "In darkness, gaze upon a fallen star." And Rayla's back.
Yay. Wow. Yeah, a lot has happened in the last 2 years. We saw already that Riven is alive again. We did a small podcast episode about it, I guess. And it was also shown on various websites and YouTube channels what happened there. And we also saw that there's a chrysalis inside some
in a cave somewhere. Yeah,
with the how was it called?
It was called
Starbug. The Starbug. Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna look it up while you're talking.
Yeah, and the Starbug, and it will maybe emerge into a beautiful butterfly. I hope so. But let's see. And Viren imagined that it was Star Caterpillar. Okay, Viren thought it was only 2 days, but nope, it was 2 years. Then we have a new intro.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah,
it's very different.
Yeah, it's a beautiful star map with a lot going on. We didn't look further into it, or I didn't, at least. And then we see a lot of stars with beautiful galaxies and stuff.
Yeah, it reminds me a bit, like, also the new music and the stars and galaxy images and stuff, a bit of, like, Star Trek Discovery or something like that. I know you're not that into Star Trek, but it had those kind of vibes for me as a bit of a Trekkie.
Yeah, for me it's just NASA images and amazing. I love it, and I'm always a fan of, you know, stargazing or going to a star...
A planetarium?
Yeah, planetarium, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not like a massive fan of the new intro because I liked the old one. But it's interesting. They're like introducing this whole new phase of the series. Yeah, I'm not quite sure how I feel about that yet. But one interesting thing to point out in the intro, Viren turns to stone in the same way that Avizandum turns to stone.
Yeah.
And also, like, just as that process is over, this one tear runs down his face. And it's like one to one. That's exactly what happened to him.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's suggesting that Viren's dying. We know that. Or that he has 30 days to live. Anyway, it's quite ominous, the kind of comparison, basically.
Yeah, totally. And then he gets picked up by even bigger arrows, and it's just a tiny piece, you know?
Yeah, in his game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's, mind-blowing. And also, we have a new title of the season or show. I'm not sure about that. The Mystery of Erros. It's all really mysterious.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched an interview from the creators about it, and that it's like a thing that the focus of the rest of the series is going to be around Erros now. Like I say, not sure how I feel about that, but I'm sure we're going to get some interesting storytelling along the way. And it won't all be Erros, even though Erros is really interesting. So that's maybe not a bad thing either.
Okay, and then we have the High Mage introduction. But he's also called Regular Callum. he has now the rune mirror in his room, in his office, and doesn't know how to translate it. But yeah, we will come back to this later, because he will get something. And what I quite find interesting, or what we thought interesting, was that the extras in the show are still recognizable. You know, all the persons living there still after 2 years. And the High Mage is also using a lot of spells, like his umbrella. And he's still caring for, you know, random people walking there in the rain and protecting them with his magic umbrella. That was really cool.
Yeah, that reminded me, it felt a bit Studio Ghibli. It reminded me a bit of like Howl's Moving Castle a little bit, that scene. The way that kind of Howl holds himself and walks through the town, which is interesting because Howl is also a wizard, so it gives him this different perspective on the world, maybe, or kind of makes him walk through the world in a different way. I just was looking up the spell. It was Pluvium Presidium, and we looked up the Latin, and it's like rain defense or rain protection is the spell, which makes sense.
Yeah, really cool. And we also have the introduction again from Sorin and Corvus. And Sorin is still as usual. He makes fun of now the step mage. We also learn that the Crow Master is now the Associate Crow Lord. So new title going on there. And Callum is waiting for a book which Maya found, the Tome of Translation, to translate the runes in the mirror, on the mirror. Yeah, then there's a town council meeting. No, not town council meeting.
Council meeting. Council meeting, yeah.
And Opelli is still going strong, I guess.
Yeah.
Then we also see that Ezrin has grown a lot.
Ezrin is tall.
Yeah.
Ezrin's really tall. Yeah. And everyone's gotten a new haircut.
Yeah.
I think mentioned that at some other point. Anyway, Corvus's locks shorter now, and Corvus is rocking a new crown guard getup. Also with like what this one shoulder pad thing. He's still got pad.
Okay.
Going on.
Yeah.
And Sorin's hair's grown.
Yeah.
they're all looking a bit different, and they're talking about, amongst other things, about the baker.
Barrios
the baker is getting a new title.
Yeah.
And is getting presented with the brooch, the hand with the whisk, like very, very Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
And we got some nice titles. I think they landed on Minister of Crusts and Jellies.
Yeah, but Baker and Chief would also be nice, I guess. Yeah,
very cool.
And what I want to say also is that Esrin is still, you know, caring for everybody and everyone, because in the council meeting they were still waiting for bait. So, yeah, the animals play a huge part. So Esrin didn't change in this regard. At all. Yeah.
No, we get that in some other scenes as well. Ez is still very much Ez, even in the king, the role of the king. It's nice to see that Ez hasn't changed too much.
That's why he also wants to reveal a big news. And he suggests that the Dragon Queen, Subeya, should come to Catullus with them to restore some trust between Xadia and the humans. I think that's a really cool idea. And the baker, Minister of Crusts and Jellies is already in for it and wants to bake a dragon jelly tart.
That's great.
Yeah, but not in the shape of a dragon, but for a dragon to eat.
So the size of a dragon. Yeah. No, that's really cool. I like that idea that to help people kind of embrace this new era of peace between, you know, the magical world and the human world. Okay, let's introduce people to the dragons. But we're getting the sense from other characters that maybe it's a bit too soon or something, that, like, there's worries that that might not go down very well. But we shall see.
Exactly. And then we also learn that there's a new dance going on. And all the kids are doing it. And it's sweeping the castle. And we looked it up, what it was, and it's from Fortnite. It's called Floss. And in our research, we watched some YouTube videos and we are not amused.
Not impressed. But it's, it's tricky. I definitely want to learn how to do the dance. I haven't, I need to watch a demonstration video. But it's all over the place, and now we know at least what it's called and kind of vaguely where it came from. If you're interested, look up the floss dance, I guess, on YouTube.
From Fortnite, yeah.
Yeah, but the only reason that Soren does it is because they keep trying to talk sneakily about Callum's birthday surprise, but he keeps messing up and Callum keeps overhearing.
They're not good with surprises at all.
They are not good with surprises. We'll get onto the whole Amaya thing shortly.
But it's also interesting that Soren is convinced of himself, and he's the master bluffer, you know? He is so good with keeping secrets.
I still adore Soren.
Yeah.
he tries so hard, and he just has such a big heart.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So, still on the birthday surprise thing, Callum starts thinking there's a plot against the king, very worrying for him, and ends up taking Corvus and Soren to the High Mage office, which is his office. They're trying to just stall him, and he's trying to figure out what's going on and save Esrin, you know? But yeah, that's a very funny scene. And I like all the animation because, you know, Callum's busy, like, telling them about the mirror because they ask about it, and in the background they're just, like, fighting in silence, like, signing things at each other. Very, 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 very funny. And then he sees someone in Esrin's room, or in the throne room, that's it. And then just leaps out of the window
and
does his mage wings.
Flying spear.
which Soren and Corvus are quite shocked about.
Yeah.
And yeah. And
Mana Pluma Volantis.
Indeed.
Yeah, and then he leaps into the throne room and also produces this energy ball. I'm not sure how he does it. You know, this...
He does Yeah, Fulminous Ball.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
he
exactly.
doesn't actually say.
He just signs the spell and then there's the ball.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's a surprise party with his birthday, I guess. And they are singing a song for him.
It's a nice song.
Yeah. Interesting for me because I don't know the song, but it was, you know, maybe not happy birthday because it's a non-Jima thing. In Germany, we have this association called Jima, and I'm not sure if they are allowed to, you know, portray happy birthday
as
a song because they would have to pay license fee and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, different happy birthday song.
So, they made up a happy birthday song, but it's cute.
With lots of kisses and hugs and stuff. Yeah.
Hugs. What was it? Hugs and kisses and wishes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, really sweet. Really sweet. Yeah. But, yeah, as Kelly already said, Callum is sad because Rayla is not here.
And we learned that it's like the anniversary of Rayla leaving.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
On his birthday.
On his birthday.
Yeah.
One thing I forgot to say, when they were in his mage office, when he was in the mage office right at the beginning of the episode, when Callum was, like, touching the mirror, I actually went back and looked, and it was exactly the same motion that Viren made in the very first episode of The Dragon Prince, when Viren was looking at the mirror.
Like touching it?
Touching it with his two fingers, and what did he say?
What secret are you hiding?
What secret are you hiding? Yeah.
Secrets, yeah. Okay.
What secrets are you hiding? And
true.
It's exactly the same movement and everything. I found that really interesting that they kind of brought us back to that moment.
Do you think that Callum is also getting dark?
Nah.
Into dark magic?
Nah, I don't think so. I feel more like Callum's figuring out how to do primal magic and that, like, my hope is that then he can show Claudia kind of the way to do magic and not, like, kill animals.
Yeah, that you don't have to be on the dark side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, then let's jump to Claudia and Viren. They are in this cave again, and we learned that the body of Viren was more broken than the crown, and that Araros helped Claudia to resurrect Viren, essentially, by doing a lot of quests in Xadia. And I'm wondering which tasks she had to do, because she was deeply concerned or, you know,
upset about it.
Yeah, upset about it.
Yeah, she said, I had to do things I never imagined I would be able to do. And he cries. And seems like she's done some pretty horrific things to make this happen.
I think it's also involving death of some kind. But to resurrect something, you have to kill a big thing, maybe.
Definitely. I mean, we talked about it at the end of the last season, because there was this fan theory that Claudia had to kill a soldier or something in order to bring him back. And there was this whole fan theory that they saw a boot animated in the corner or something of the cave. But it seems like, I don't think that was the case. I think we already said that when we talked about it previously. But that she maybe had to kill some very rare magical creatures or something to bring Viren back. Yeah, which is like, I don't know, it's interesting because we also, we're going to get introduced to Terry, but that Terry seems like a very sensitive kind of person. Like, if Terry knows what Claudia's done.
Maybe he does know it. Okay.
Don't know. That's my, just a thought. So they're in the cave and Viren is awake.
Yeah, the resurrection spell lasts only for 30 days, which is not a month, but 30 days. Month could be either 31 days or 28 or whatever.
Yeah,
we have to, or they have to find Araros in his magical prison. They don't know where it is. Araros himself doesn't know. Themselves?
themselves. We don't know Aravis's pronouns, actually, but
Doesn't know, and maybe the butterfly will guide them to this being who has answers. I don't know.
Yeah, it's all a bit sus that Aravis is the only one that can save him, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, 30 days, but yeah, come and find me, I'll sort you out, you know?
Yeah.
I find it all a bit suspect.
Yeah, it's like this, you know, piece on the chessboard.
Yeah.
He's playing with the figures, characters. Mm. Yeah. Not sure. And there is a big question, you know? Viren was dead for 2 years, and Claudia had to do something. And Viren's appearance didn't change at all.
Mm.
Wouldn't he be super old because he was not having his butterflies for breakfast?
Mm.
What's going on there? So,
and he's been, you know, dead.
Yeah.
Like, how did they preserve his body?
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. Do they have a fridge?
The answer is magic, for sure. Some sort of magic kept him kind of fresh. until they could,
but and also in this state, you know, because as I said, no butterflies.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, he should have his dark magic face on. Maybe Claudia's been feeding him his butterfly breakfast.
Yeah, but then she knows his, you know, secret of being super old.
I think she knows already. I mean, she was following him when he created this big evil army, you know, and he had the face. On.
Ah, did she saw it?
Yeah, when he did that spell. So, and her experience of dark magic as well is, I mean...
Yeah, she has grey hairs.
She's, her hair's getting more and more white by the day. I think she kind of knows what she's gotten herself into. But we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see, I guess. But yeah, I mean, yeah. To in answer to your question, I'm sure the answer is magic. Maybe we'll find out. Maybe we'll get some more flashbacks on the whole.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah.
Process.
Yeah, and then we also learned that Claudia has another side, a light side. She has a boyfriend now, Terry, Terrestrius.
A very traditional Earthblood elf name.
And, Viren is not convinced at all of this relationship or this person. I find it hilarious.
Yeah.
And I think to come back to this, what we talked earlier, I think Terry also knows what Claudia did.
Mm.
I think Claudia met Terry in a forest at some point and... They were together on this quest, I guess. He's seen it all.
Yeah. I mean, they share this, like, silly, lighthearted side and their sense of humor and stuff. But, yeah, maybe they also share a dark side.
Yeah.
But I don't know. From the outside, Terry looks very kind.
And, yeah, totally.
Yeah. Just seems like a very nice addition to the kind of main characters of the series. Terry also has a shoulder pad. Just one.
I didn't recognize.
I don't know why I keep noticing this, like, I think it's just the style of, I don't know. Yeah. It's a thing. And yeah, with the glasses and stuff, like, Terry's kind of quite a bit steampunk or something. I don't know. I like it.
A little bit nerdy, maybe.
Yeah. Also. And Terry's making a real effort to try and get on Viren's good side. And is really positive about it.
He's like Soren.
Yeah.
He's like Soren. Yeah, come on. Yeah. Soren is the master bluffer. And I think Terry said, it was going well, the introduction.
Yeah.
Nope. It didn't.
But Terry was lovely. Yeah. My friends call me Terry. You can call me Terry. May I call you Viren?
So Claudia's dad.
Trees to meet you. And trees to meet you is an actual greeting. Now we know, because an Earthblood elf has said it, it wasn't just made up by Callum when Callum was pretending to be an Earthblood elf that one time.
Okay.
It seems to be an actual thing.
Yeah.
And I also like that this comes up later, but that they use sapling to refer to, like, as blood elf children.
That's cute, that sapling baby tree.
Yeah. It's very nicely done.
A little bit like a mandrake in Harry Potter.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Do you think that that's how they look when they're born?
Could be. Planted in a top pot, crying.
I mean, they're little, you know, they're little magical creatures. It could be, it could be. We haven't talked about Amaya.
Yeah, the surprise party for Amaya. So the surprises didn't go away at all in this episode, in this chapter. And yeah, Shanae and Gren leave. And yeah, they say that Amaya should trust them. But Amaya didn't trust them. And she's fighting with some fire elves who appear with fire whips. And no, it's now not fire whips. It's flame ribbons for a dance.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a traditional sun fire elf ceremony for marriage.
Yay! Woo! Do you want to wrestle me?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So signage is a little bit off, but yeah, I think it's cute. I think it's really cute.
Yeah, it is. It's lovely. And yeah, and they're all dressed up with flowers.
Yeah.
It's a shame it kind of gets ruined. But what did Janai expect from Amaya?
I don't know. I have no idea. But she
could have given her some sort of heads up.
Yeah. But as Janai or someone said, Amaya's a beast.
Amaya's a beast. That's what one of the dancers said. And that's what Janai likes about her. So a little bit of trivia is that when Amaya throws the shield and pins one of the dancers to the tree, that's a direct move that Aragorn did in Lord of the Rings.
Totally. So much fan stuff. It's really cool.
Yeah, thank you to the Dragon Prince Wiki, obviously, for that information. So I think we've talked about everyone in that chapter.
Yeah, I think so as well. That just leaves the end credits. So we see in the first end credit, we see Amaya and Janai dancing or leaning in for a kiss. Surrounded by flowers.
And then we get Terry with the shiny glasses. Yeah. It's this like anime trope.
This bling
bling.
Yeah. Then we see a frame photo of Ezran and Callum with tiny stars around them. Also like sparkles or something.
I would just say one thing about that.
Oh, yeah.
That it's exactly the same pose that Viren and Harrow have in their portrait together. So that's a direct outtake for that. The next picture is the hand and whisk brooch.
Yeah. And then we see Callum reading a letter, shedding a tear, and there's a feather from his flying spell next to him. And according to Kaylee, the letter is from one of the short stories on the website, which they released after season 3. Book 3 and before book 4. And yeah, I didn't read it, but Kaylee did. So
yeah, if you're interested, we can put it in the show notes. On the Dragon Prince official website, they released a few little short stories, and one of them is this letter from Rayla explaining why she had to leave. And the final thing is one of the fire dancers with the fire whip.
Okay. No. Cool. Should we speak about the title?
Yeah.
Rebirthday. It's, I think, a little bit obvious because someone had a second birthday.
Yeah. Rebirth. And I have as overarching themes surprises as well for this episode. It was all about rebirth and surprise things happening. Yeah.
Also a little bit of the Dragon Prince in general, because we had to wait a long time for them to finish the season. Yeah. So it was also a little bit of rebirthday that we could watch the Dragon Prince again.
A celebration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, and I just have some extra trivia for that chapter. Callum's birthday party was hosted in Ezrin's bedroom. Ezrin's bedroom because of needing to be an unexpected place that Callum wouldn't have just walked into. But it was apparently a budgeting issue as well. They'd already animated that room once, so they just did it again. And there was another bit of trivia for this that I found interesting, not just for this episode, but dragons can only learn to talk when they're over 75 years old.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting.
On the Dragon Prince wiki.
Because Zim doesn't speak yet.
Zim doesn't speak, and we're wondering when's that going to start happening. And we've got a long while to wait before that happens, apparently.
How old is Zim?
Zim is now 2 and a bit, I guess.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So is it...
Zim's a little toddler.
I don't know. Over 70 years in human...
In our years.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then that's going to take a while.
So the next chapter is called Fallen Stars and had a slightly better rating from IMDb than the first one. The ratings have dropped for the new season. The first two episodes don't get as good ratings as the end of the last season, but I mean, they're setting the scene, you know, for what's to come, I guess. Anyway, we can talk more about that later. So, who should we start with?
Maybe Claudia? Claudia has now the staff from Viren. I think it resembled a little bit of the Gandalf or Saruman staff, you know, like really powerful magic thing. They have to search Viren's staff on the top of the Storm Spire. And it's an exhausting climb to there. But I was wondering also, why didn't she did this already? You know, because why would they go there with 3 persons when she could have sent Terry or someone else?
That's a legitimate question. Yeah. Why did they wait for Viren, who's all weak and scared? I guess maybe they thought he would just come back and be his old self straight away. I don't know. But yeah, that's a very good question. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, but then they follow their path upstairs. And on the way, we see some flowers, which are called Xadia Celia. And for me, the colors were interesting because it's part of the trans flag. So that's really cool. Transgender. I'm not sure what it means for the flowers themselves.
But it's nice that they use the symbolism and did it very purposefully. As well.
And then also Terry does a spell on the flowers. He gives them a little bit of extra crow magic. But nothing happens because, it's just 1 or 2 weeks.
It'll take reduced a couple of...
the blooming,
It'll take a couple of weeks to see anything. But yeah, the whole visual was very impressive and how Terry's skin changed and everything. And like, wow, what's going to happen? We'll see. That's very nice, though.
It's a little bit, you know, like Earth is a little bit, you know, like calmed down and...
To Earth.
Down to Earth, exactly. So, really cool.
And then we get a high 4.5. Between the Claudia and Terry, and find out about Earthblood elf farts.
Yeah, exactly. It smells like
fresh rain hitting dry stones.
Yeah, exactly. It smells so good when he farts.
And I looked it up, and petrichor is a real thing.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
Yeah,
I'd never heard of it before, but that is the smell of rain hitting dry hot stones.
I can smell it now.
Yeah, you know?
It's really good.
And the more I think about it, the more fitting it is. Because like when you, I don't know, when you've smelt it, it's like this, like often you walk in out of the house and everything's really humid and moist and you kind of get hit in the face with this. Like, I love the smell.
I can totally understand Claudia.
It's great.
Great. But obviously, everyone doesn't find it great. He is still not convinced of Terry.
it's all a bit much for a little bit much for Viren at this point.
Yeah. But they're going further up, and they're getting trouble breathing correctly because
because of the
high the altitude.
Yeah.
And what they do is, or who likes breathing? This elf. they use poofed up puffer bats. Obviously, a lot of dark magic going on. And a nice spell from Claudia.
Breath of life, sustain us.
Yeah. Or su niatius efil fo hiltrib.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't help Viren, unfortunately.
No. He passes out. And Terry tries to help him get up again and explain that it's not bad, and because of all the stress and you've just been resurrected and stuff.
Yeah, it's really nice, and talks to Viren about his panic attack, and all these stress and anxieties come together and add up and turn into a kind of big thing, and psh, down you go.
Yeah.
You are the legendary Lord Viren. Heights should fear you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, this is it's so lovely to see how much Terry is trying with Viren. And it seems to help him a little bit. What I liked as well when they did the spell was Terry said dark magic has a tingly aftertaste.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
So Terry's not tried much dark magic, apparently. It's a new thing for Terry, if it's a...
But it's not an issue for him, you know? It's just like, okay, yeah, we then inhale some dead animals, and that's it.
Yeah. Then they are taking this shortcut up the Storm Spire, and Terry changes his mind from being fairly sure that it's a proper shortcut to being rock solid certain after seeing Claudia's face. Terry starts doing laughing farts, which are called chuckle puffs.
Yeah.
Viren has then a very humbling moment thinking about the next 30 days and if he really wants to search for...
No, first he falls off again.
Oh yeah, sorry. Forgot about that.
Yeah. Viren passes out again, or falls off, and Claudia catches with him with a purple thing, and I think, or we think, it's this tentacle arm.
It's this tentacle that they used before, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. And then Viren says, we could travel the countryside, try the 7 cakes of Zadia. I want to try the 7 cakes of Zadia.
Oh yeah, cake.
and he wants to be at peace. Which is a very Sorin moment. Like, it reminds me of when Sorin was injured.
Yeah.
When Pyra knocked him against that big rock at that time. Having a very similar moment of looking at his life and being like, okay, maybe I don't have much time left. Is this really what I want? Which he gets a big slap for.
Yeah.
From Claudia, who's just spent 2 years trying to bring him back to life.
And then this... And Claudia doesn't like sunsets, apparently.
Yeah, and then they see the dragons leave, and then it's a sign that they're doing the right thing. In my notes I've written, Clary go up. Is Clary my... my ship name for Claudia and Terry, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
Made these notes while ago. And Clary go up, and Claudia hugs Viren, and Viren cries one tear.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the statue of Viren cries one tear.
Yeah, krass.
Maybe he's a one tear guy.
Maybe. Yeah.
That's from Whiplash. Have you seen Whiplash?
No.
It's a very good film with J.K. Simmons, and there's a whole scene about someone being a one-tier guy. If you haven't seen it, worth a watch.
We obviously put it in the show notes then.
So I guess we go back to the castle at this point. We have this scene with the Associate Crow Lord and Callum. Which, I don't know, the Associate Crow Lord feels to me like he's getting less and less cool every time we see them. I don't know, in the first couple of seasons I was like, just intrigued by them, because you don't really know much. But then the more that they open their mouth, the less cool they get. Anyway, so the tome got carried by a magical Zadian bird, which is just chilling in the rafters. And long story short, the associate crow lord's not wearing the same trousers they were wearing this morning.
Exactly. Because it was so awesome, this book?
And the whole experience of the magical bird, I think they were so overwhelmed, they just couldn't keep it together.
Hilarious.
But love the enthusiasm.
Yeah, exactly.
And and then Callum runs off with the book and is very excited and runs through the courtyard, and Ez sees him and is like, "Oh, you seem like you're in a good mood." And we get Callum shouting, "Books are great!
Books are great!"
I love seeing Ez and Callum's relationship, and I love this moment. And Ez is just like, "Yeah, books are great." I love them. They like, they really have a good relationship. It's nice.
And then we also find out that Ashlyn is not only doing or inviting Zubaya and Sim for restoring the trust between humans and Xadia, but also because he misses Sim. And he wants to squeeze his sappy little
dot, cheeks. Dot,
dot. Yeah, cheeks. Ah, yeah.
Ez hasn't seen Zim for 4 months, which is a long time for them.
Yeah.
I wondered if they have like little telepathic chats in between, like little catch-ups,
but
we don't know at this point. Corvus is basically also just concerned about the visit, but Ez is very excited and not worried at all.
No.
And then we go, I guess, to Callum. Who's trying to translate the mirror.
Yeah.
It's not a tome of translation, barely a pamphlet of pathetic. Callum is very frustrated. And then hits the desk and the ink falls on the book, and Bait sees that something magical is happening and tries to get Callum's attention. All very Chamber of Secrets.
Totally.
Tom Riddle.
Yeah.
But then Callum realizes how it works and says, "I guess it wouldn't be the first time I accidentally, on purpose, ruined a super rare and magical artifact." And what was that artifact?
Yeah, I think it was a primal stone.
Yeah. We've seen him destroy a primal stone. And but it doesn't get destroyed.
No.
It's absolutely fine. It's exactly how it's supposed to work. And then we get the translation, "In darkness, gaze upon a fallen star."
From Tom Riddle.
Tom Riddle's helping him out. That Horcrux. We thought it had been destroyed.
No. It was attached to the tomb of translation, and half of the book was blankety planky blank.
Blankety blank. And then a little lemur bush baby thing with purple eyes appears. It has a frowny face. Looks a bit evil, I have to say. And steals the key of Aravos.
Yeah.
Very concerning behavior. Yeah. And runs to a creepy moon shadow form. And who could it be?
Rayla! Yeah.
Rayla's back.
With an invisibility cloak or something.
Oh dear, the Harry Potter and Dragon Prince universe are bleeding together.
Overarching theme.
Yeah, so that's that from the castle. What we get from the Storm Spire in this chapter is Ibis trying to give Zim his veggies.
Yeah. Mage of the Skywing Elves.
Yeah. And Ibis calls himself a legendary master of the four winds.
Yeah.
Which are like, it's like the seven seas or something.
Game of Thrones.
And I think just traditionally people refer to the seven seas. But the Game of Thrones is another thing, isn't it? It's the... They don't call it the seven seas, they call it something else. Anyway.
Yeah, but you know, also with the titles.
Yeah.
You know, King of the Andes, blah, blah, blah,
true,
blah, blah.
True, true, true. Yeah. Yeah, Ibis must have a million different titles.
Yeah, but now he's just a zucchini phoenix.
Yeah.
And yeah, it reminded me of feeding toddlers.
Yeah.
You know, with planes and spoons, and here comes the food.
Trying to make it interesting.
Yeah.
And then it gets, and then the toddler zaps it with the electricity and it falls to the floor.
Which is completely normal for toddlers.
Yeah, that's what they do all the time.
Yeah.
Very funny.
And we see the dinner falling off the storm spire in a shortcut, in a cut scene. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, very funny scene. And Zim's gotten really big.
Yeah, totally.
For a toddler, Zim's pretty massive and still very cute.
Yeah, super cute.
And quite dog-like still, like with Zim.
True. Also the sitting, you know, how he sits.
Yeah.
And but in comparison, he's super small. When they fly off, we see at some point Subaya, Pyra and Zim flying off. And Zim is like nothing in comparison.
Zim is still tiny.
Yeah, super tiny.
I wanted to say in a dragon scale.
Yeah.
In the scale of dragons.
Yeah.
So let's go to Janai and Amaya and Gren. They're having like an engagement party, I guess, or an engagement announcement. And Gren tells them that they're going to be the world's most formidable couple. I really like that. And that also reminds me, also from the Avatar world, of Azula. From the episode of The Beach, they have this like teenager party and Azula picks the person like she wants to get together with, and she's laughing and stuff, and she says, "Together you and I will be the strongest couple in the entire world. We will dominate the earth," and completely scares him off. But it just I don't know why, it just really reminded me of it. The world's most formidable couple.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there you go. Another Avatar comparison for you there.
Of course, Avatar is also in a lot.
Yeah. I mean, same creators, as we know. We get introduced to Prince Karim. Yeah, this is the first time we've seen Karim.
Yeah, the little brother of Janai.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who also has a one-shoulder thing going on. Has a one-shoulder cape.
Okay.
And has a staff with a red jewel.
Hmm. Also a little bit Harry Potter. Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. So much magic.
Lots of magic going on. Karim is worried about the engagement, is worried about the symbolism of it, because now there's humans living at Luxoria, the Sunfire Elf capital, and is worried that if they get married, that's a symbol of the fact that humans are there and are there to stay. Which, you know, shouldn't be an issue, actually. You know, if this is a kind of new phase of the world, then, you know, that's something that could be possible. But Karim really doesn't want that. But he says the symbol of marriage will confirm people's fears that the world is ending. And that the rising sun is now a falling star.
Exactly, yeah. And also Luxoria is lost and stuff like this.
Yeah.
It sounds to me a little bit like speciesism.
Yeah.
But, But he's not, you know, he's not against the relationship, but only of the marriage. You know, when they marry, then he's against it, but he's not against living together or being together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit, speciesist or whatever. And maybe he's just trying to not rock the boat or whatever at such a turbulent time. I mean, their capital is in ruins and they're living in tents.
Yeah, exactly.
And in a way, Karim is trying to you know, tell Janai that there's issues with the people, maybe, that maybe she doesn't have so much connection to. Maybe in the same way that Apelli and Corvus are trying to approach Ezrin about the dragons coming. But it seems like integration is an issue from both sides, yeah, and something that they're going to have to work on.
But, you know, it's good that they have so many relationships going on, like Claudia and Terry.
Yeah.
And Amaya and Janai.
Yeah.
Callum and Rayla.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. And who knows, however many other relationships.
Ezra and Sim.
Off screen, you know? Yeah. And yeah, it is a new world, that opening up that border. And that was a big question we had. I think the last episode we did of season 3, we were also asking, how's it going to be from now on? Are they going to integrate? Are they going to stay separate but still just be like diplomatic with each other? Yeah, and we're just seeing maybe a first step of how that might be going.
Also, what are the other queendoms or kingdoms thinking about it?
Yeah. You know?
Because it's not only Catullus.
True. Stuff. Yeah, Catullus is just the closest, so they're probably going to get the most change the most quickly, I guess. Yeah, and Amaya and Janai talk about it as well then. And Amaya also said to Janai, oh, maybe we're moving too fast, not them as a couple, but humans and elves.
Yeah, exactly. So neither of them are sure about it.
Yeah. But, you know, Janai really loves Amaya and just wants to marry her and is the queen.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of Amaya's decision.
Yeah. But she didn't want to be queen.
She didn't want to be queen, but she is now and has to kind of roll with it, I guess. Yeah, we'll see how that works out. Really interesting stuff. I'm not sure I like this episode more than the first one. Like, when we watch them like this, like two episodes at a time, I kind of see them as a block. But yeah, should we talk about the title?
Yeah, it's called Fallen Stars. And for me, I just thought about it. Maybe it's a little bit also Viren falling down again and dying again, combined with Eros, which is in the stars, or, you know, a lot bigger and a bigger being. I don't know. Maybe something like this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, maybe it's too far-fetched.
No, I think that's like, it's definitely in there, you know? Yeah. You can see it in there. I mean, there's also fallen stars, like the mirror. Like what the mirror said. Was directly about fallen stars. Yeah. Where was the quote? In darkness, gaze upon a fallen star. So, I mean, that's referring to Aravos then directly as being a fallen star, which begs the question, who are the fallen stars then, Aravos is one of them? Yeah, the other thing was this thing that Karim said. He said something about the sun.
Being
a falling star.
Yeah, true.
That the rising sun is now a falling star. Yeah. So there's a lot of symbolism and stuff.
Also, you know, a falling star is coming to an end. You know, it's everything is dying.
Mm-hmm.
Our sun will also eventually die and will be a fallen star then.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's introducing the end.
The end and maybe transformation.
Yeah, or ends.
And the transformation could also be like all this societal change that they're going through as well.
True. Yeah.
Anyway, we went deep with that one.
I don't know.
And they're coming to terms with a changing world, and Viren is coming to terms with his world changing. Is what I've got in my notes. So, yeah.
I think that just leaves the end credits.
So, we've got Claudia with her tentacle arm picking her nose. With it.
Yeah. And then we see the associate crow lord with a crow on his shoulder and washing his clothes or trousers.
Washing his trousers. Then we've got Ibis with a plate of veggies and broccoli on a fork. And Yana pointed out,
Kasif. That reminded me of Kasif. who doesn't like broccoli at all.
Yeah, another prince that doesn't eat their broccoli.
Yeah, exactly. Then we see poofed up puffer bats hanging from a tree. And it's so cute. And it's the whole family. And then, I asked myself, did Claudia catch the kids? Because it was three kids.
Mm.
Or some parents and family members, which were bigger. I don't know. It's sad.
It's all a bit dark, really. Yeah.
Super sad.
The next one is Rayla's bush baby lemur whatever creature.
Weird animal.
training with weights. Has four arms, apparently. Yeah. I didn't notice that in that short little moment that we saw it. And has one weight on its tail.
Yeah. Ah, yeah, true. Mm. Yeah, and then we see the trans flowers again, the Xadia cilia. And the spell helped because they are blooming in the full trans colors.
Beautiful.
Really cool. Yeah.
So I just did a little rundown at the end of where we are then with the characters now. And Ezrin is 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Zim is like 2.5-ish. Mm-hmm. Rayla, I think they were 14 then. So now they're like 16, I guess, her and Callum. Anyway, this is just some thoughts that I had. Claudia's gone, is also changed, explored the different corners of Xadia, doing who
magic
knows
quests.
What. And Sorin is now head crown guard.
Yeah.
Very cool. Viren had a moment of seeming more humble, a bit more human. lots of change going on.
Lots of titles also.
Lots of titles. Everyone's got new titles. So, we did it.
We did it. Nice.
Yeah.
And, by the way, they announced already season 5.
Hooray!
Yeah, or book 5. Yeah, it's coming, I think, this year.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope they don't need as much time producing that one as they did producing this one. Do we have any jelly tarts that we didn't already say?
I don't.
I think I messed up on the jelly tarts this time. We'll have to try harder in the next episode. We have to get back into this thing.
Yeah, exactly.
We will try and record another episode as soon as we can.
Now I'm finally being able to watch two more episodes.
Yeah.
So that's cool. And let's see how this is going.
Yeah. All right then. Thanks for listening, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
No, we forgot something.